Welcome to WP Cafe episode number 25 with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson. So, what have we got today, Keith?
We've got a few things to chat about. We're going to talk about our product launch, or what do you call it when a launch goes not quite so well?
A lack launch?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that, potentially talk a little bit about how we're going to resolve that flop. I want to talk a little bit about hamburger menus. Old school kind of topic, but relevant to us right now. But the thing I'm most excited to talk about today...
Go on.
...are bats.
Bats?
Bats. So as you know, and I can't remember if I've mentioned it on the show before...
Not sure.
I've got a lot of bats in our house. Okay. So we had a survey done last year, and they counted 200 bats on our roof, 198 to be exact. And then they did another survey last year, a few weeks later, just like a follow-up survey, and there were none. And the theory was that it had got too hot, and they'd all upped and left to find somewhere more comfortable. So obviously we're at the tail end now of a pretty dramatic heat wave in the UK yesterday, highest ever temperatures recorded in the UK. By lunchtime, it was pretty nuts. And all day yesterday, I could hear this chirping noise right above my desk. I could just hear this, and I was like, it's the bats, because I know that's where they live, on the other side of that wall. And it was really loud, and I never heard them before during the day. So in fact, I'd never really heard them before, full stop.
They're nocturnal, aren't they?
Yeah. So it was loud, and it was during the day, and they're chirp, 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 chirp. So I was like, these bats are not happy. Well, I wasn't happy. It was 36 degrees in this room. In that little roof kind of space, it must have been way worse. So anyway, heard them all day. And then I went out at night to try to film them, because I was going to try to catch them coming out, because I wanted to see if they were carrying their babies with them as they were leaving.
Yep.
I got a few videos from outside, come back in. And my living room is full of bats. I'm not joking. So not all 200 of them, but at least 10 flying around this room, right where I'm sitting right now. Just go,
how had they got in?
I don't know. So they either got in through the open door.
Well, you went out.
Or I got a feeling they found a little way. I found a little hole, just up on the wall. I've got a feeling they started just trying to get out of where they were. They were desperate to get out because it was so hot. And they just started flying around in here. So yeah, I made a video. I put it on Twitter last night. Did my best Christian Bale Batman impression. And it was very hot. So I was topless. So it was a bit of a strange video. but yeah, it was quite fascinating. And then
How did you remove 10 bats?
Well, I picked up a big blanket and started flapping them towards the window. So I got rid of 7 of them that way. And then I had 3 bats left. One of them I caught quite easily in a little Tupperware pot. I just brought it outside and it flew off. Right. And then the next two were a bit more difficult. I caught the second one in a Tupperware pot. And then the last one I did the waving towards the window thing for about 15 minutes. That last one really didn't want to leave. But yeah, it was pretty dramatic, pretty interesting. And then there was a huge thunderstorm afterwards. So last night was just this crazy movie experience.
Batman movie.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
The bats are back, basically.
Well, I reckon they've gone. They might have gone again.
Well, how are they getting in? Surely it would be a good time to block up the entrance now.
You're not allowed.
If they've gone.
You're not
what, even if they've gone?
Yeah.
I know you can't move bats, but I thought you could encourage them not to stay.
You're not allowed to interfere with their habitat.
Right.
So,
well, what are you going to do when you do your house then?
We have to build bat boxes, temporary and then permanent. Yeah. One of them has to be heated as well.
You've got to provide central heating for bats.
Yeah. I'm not aircon though, but one of the 3 bat boxes has to be heated, which makes me kind of wonder who gets the short straw. It's going to be these, like, a third of them are going to be these privileged bats with their nice heated bat box, and they'll learn. I don't know. That's bizarre. Quite funny. Yep, there you go. That was my excitement. People
have tuned in now and thinking, what on earth are these two talking about bats for?
Apologies, but it was quite exciting. Check out my Twitter for for videos. For
Batman video.
Yeah. Oh, it's good.
Anyway, moving on to all things WordPress. Let's talk about our product launch, or as we said in the intro, lack of product launch.
Kind of malfunction on the launch pad, kind of thing. Not quite.
Well, so for those that don't know, we launched an add-on product for our Job Relay service last week. It was last week. Was it the week before? Might have been the week before. It's a service that allows you to create social sharing images, branded social sharing images for jobs, and have them attached to jobs on WordPress. And then when you share those on social media platforms, the preview image that gets displayed is the nice branded social sharing image. So we launched that. How did we launch that, Keith?
We launched it to our mailing list, didn't we? So we've got our Job Relay clients. We've got a mailing list in Campaign Monitor.
And that is just current Job Relay clients, isn't it? Mm. Because essentially, it's only those that can actually use it because it's an add-on for the product that they're using. So we sent the email out, and we got a few clicks. We got a few views. We got a few emails back, actually, which was promising. Mm. People asking some questions. We had a video call with someone, which was actually excellent.
Let's come back to that, because that was
great
good
stuff. And we had a sale. Amazing, we had a sale. And that was the only sale we had. Slightly disappointing. But the good news is the person that bought it is using it, and it's working really well. So that's good for them.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is why do we think it flopped? Like, because actually part of me thinks that we were never going to get like 50 people emailing us and saying, yay, let's go with it straight away.
No, I think, so the list size was something, is it something like 180, 100, something like that?
I think it might be just over 200 actually, but yeah, it's not large.
Okay, so it's about 200. So I guess, I didn't set any particular target or anything because I really had no idea. But I think I probably would have liked about 5 sales out of that, probably. That would have felt good.
So that's about 10% would be 2, wouldn't it?
2.5%.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. I'm not entirely sure why. I mean, I think it's kind of hard to explain. In some ways, this is for me, this is like a really simple product and a really simple concept. But I've had some feedback from people that I've shared it with. So I'm not actually quite sure what it does or how it does it. So I think potentially some kind of video explainers could be good. I think we got a lot of out of office replies. So I think like
some holidays.
Quite a lot of people won't have seen the email. I mean, I think I haven't actually checked recently, but a third of the people that actually even opened the email at all. So that shows that the content of the email wasn't necessarily the problem. It's busy inboxes. It's maybe the subject line wasn't like perfectly optimized. I don't know if there's...
Is it a done thing to send that again? And can we send it to those that didn't open it, I wonder?
Yeah, I think this is... obviously, if you've opened it, difficult.
Get it again, do you?
Yeah. We've just got to, I think we've obviously got to be really careful because a mailing list is a really precious commodity for us. We don't want loads of unsubscribes. And we just don't want to annoy people as well. We don't want to be constantly ramming sales emails into people's inboxes. So I guess we've got to be a little bit wary of that too.
I think my disappointment with it was, and I'm not like greatly disappointed because I think, like I said, we were never going to sell, 50 of the things. But like you said, 5 would have been nice. My disappointment is that I actually genuinely think this is something that our customers want
and
would be good for them, would be really good for them. which is why I was a little bit disappointed, I think, when it sort of didn't really gather any interest and you know,
but what,
any movement, really.
I think we still believe that, and it's and that's why I think that's what gives you the resilience whenever you have disappointments like this, is that if you truly believe in the product, then you'd think, okay, well, that went wrong. It's not because the product is terrible, and it's not because there isn't a market fit. It's something else has happened.
Yeah.
Find out what that thing is. Find another angle. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's lots still for us to try. And obviously, we're making a more kind of slightly more generic version of this plugin. And then potentially a much more generic version of this plugin down the line. So there's lots more opportunities for kind of growth in different markets and things. And like for the for definitely. The WP Job Manager add-on version, we, you know, we've got their add-on directory. We potentially have the WordPress plugin repo. So lots of opportunity. And yeah,
Craig. Hi, Craig. Thanks for watching. That's a question on YouTube. So it says, do you send out any other mail to the list, or is this the first mail in a while ever that you've sent? Yeah. Very good question. We rarely send to that mailing list, to be honest. So it might be that they've had 3 emails in the last year, if that. So yeah, it's quite an unused mailing list in that respect. Mm. I don't know whether that has any impact, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure.
But, I think it's probably a bad thing. I think if they're not getting emails from us on any kind of regular basis, and then we hit them with some kind of sales email, it's like, it's tricky though, because I don't want to fill people's inboxes for the sake of filling people's inboxes with great useful content every week. You know, I don't want those emails, so I don't really want other people to get them. But this is what, like, we genuinely believe that this is a great add-on to the product that they've already bought. So we want to keep that mailing list as kind of light as possible, but I think that was definitely a factor, Craig. I would think
interesting. So the call then we had with one person that responded, that was super valuable, wasn't it? So this person essentially asked, they wanted to ask some questions about it and clarify what it actually did, because obviously that was part of people's problem, I think, is that, like Keith said to start with, people probably didn't fully understand what it was. And on that call, we were able to sort of demonstrate the setup. We were able to then generate questions from this person who asked lots of things about it. And not only that, they asked some really pertinent questions that made even us think, oh yeah, that probably is a problem. We should definitely change that, and we should definitely improve that and that and that. And some of the things were like, we'd really like to do that, but we can't for various reasons as well. So it was a really valuable call to talk to customers that potentially wanted to use it. I thought it was almost better than a sale, I thought.
I think it was 5 times more valuable than a sale.
Yeah.
I think it would have been nice. The sale would have been nice as a little kind of ego boost, keep momentum going, feeling like, this is great. Things are happening. But yeah, I do think that feedback was so, so valuable. So yeah, I'd prefer that. But we need to obviously get some sales in at some point, but calls like that are great. And we had another one with someone who we introduced the concept to. Remember, we were on another call with the guy, and we introduced this idea. Would this be something you'd be interested in? He gave us some interesting feedback as well about like auto posting to like LinkedIn and stuff like that. Yeah. So that was, again, that was really interesting just to see how other people see this working for their use cases. Really good. So lots to do. We're working on it at the minute, aren't we? And hopefully launching the kind of slightly more generic version of it soon, or the WP Job Manager focused version of it soon.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Before we move on, if you are watching along on YouTube and you have a question, we do like to take some questions, so feel free to put them in the chat. If you're listening on the podcast, we do a live version of this also on YouTube, so you're welcome to obviously watch that. We usually tweet out about it as and when we're going to deliver it. And yeah, let's move on then. So next topic, I believe, is hamburger menus.
Yes. So I was on my little mastermind call earlier today.
Oh, yes.
And we were looking at the new Human Made website, because I just mentioned that they had a new website. So Human Made are a enterprise WordPress agency kind of transitioning to a digital experience, digital partner kind of agency through their Altus platform. Yeah, but they've got a new website. So I just had a look at it and we were all looking at it together. And the topic came up of the fact that the menu is just a hamburger. So the whole main nav is hidden on desktop behind a burger icon. And two of us on the call thought that was fine. And two of us on the call did not think that was okay. Little discussion there. What are your thoughts, first of all, Mark, on that?
Personally, it's fine. I think for me, it's obvious what it is. It's something that you look out for nowadays on the web. And it's something that you will, if you can't see a menu, that's my first thing to do, is to top right-hand side, is there a hamburger? Yes, there is. That's the menu. So I don't think that's an issue. Mm-hmm. That said, if my wife, my mum landed on the website, would they know that's the menu? I honestly don't know. But if it had the word menu next to it as well, that would be simple.
Yeah. So this is relevant to us because the way I've designed our redesign and lots of our new websites are exactly the same.
I also like it because the menu experience is the same on desktop and mobile, really, which I don't think is a bad thing.
Yeah. So I'll play devil's advocate. I don't necessarily think that it's okay to have it hidden behind burger. And like, I think there's some really strong arguments for showing the menu. Those arguments are around accessibility and usability, discoverability, and they're pretty compelling arguments, to be honest. In our case, I kind of see our website as it's a kind of sales experience, and it's kind of like a collection of landing pages. It's not an information resource. So I think if this was a website like the BBC or something along those lines, you would want a very discoverable menu. But for us, I feel like we are providing like a bit of a journey for a customer. So you can, you know, you land on the homepage and you kind of want people to kind of read the stuff that's there. And then there's lots of kind of in-page links to take you to potentially interesting next sections.
Yep.
So I don't think this is a black and white thing. I really don't. I remember like a long time ago reading something about landing pages, and they convert better when there's no menu at the top. So you see like a lot of like pure landing pages these days just don't have a navigation to try to like funnel people down through that process. And I do think our website is effectively a glorified landing page. So why would we not use kind of landing page best practices? Especially if we make it as accessible as possible within that framework. One of the people on the mastermind call, she did not agree with me and thought that these were definitely a real no-no. And she pointed me towards a study by the Nielsen Norman Group, which was a pretty interesting read. I'll just read the summary. Discoverability is cut almost in half by hiding a website's main navigation. Also, task time is longer and perceived task difficulty increases. But reading through it, it also says...
Can I just ask, when was that study done?
That's the first thing I looked at. It's the first thing I looked at, and it was 6 years ago.
See, I think that's old now, considering burger menus are now more commonplace and more known.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I would anticipate that those facts and figures in that study would probably change a lot now based on what and people know.
They do cover that to some extent in the article. They say that I can't remember the term they use, like familiarity will improve if this becomes like a common pattern, which it has. But that is only one of the factors that could potentially improve. And they said that most of the others will stay negative no matter how well it's adopted, which I kind of get. I did read the article and I had my skeptics hat on. My kind of confirmation bias was strong in one direction. And I kept thinking, like, it said things like perceived task difficulty. So obviously you don't want that, but where does it say that? It talks about like discoverability. And I was like, is that always a good thing? Like, is that going to like increase our bottom line somehow because the website is more discoverable? And then if you take these things to extremes, like for example, Craig in the comments, I'll just put this up on the screen, has said, it's a no from me, only 4 menu items. Why not display them and save the extra click? But could you not just say that about anything and just say, well, why don't we just put all the content on one page and save anybody clicking anything? Is there not some benefit of keeping a user interface clean?
Yeah,
and not having all these options whenever you first land on a page. There's not a whole load of like, go here, go here, go here. It's like, here's the content. Start reading. I don't know. I think my.
Are we really suggesting that someone has landed on your page, which you hope they're going to find engaging and interesting, and because the menu is behind a hamburger, oh, they're like, I'll just leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not so sure that's the case. It might take them an extra second to find stuff, but like you say, is that a bad thing?
And that's what I was thinking as well with that Nielsen Norman Group study is that they were deliberately looking for, it felt like they were deliberately looking for ways that this pattern was bad.
Yes.
And not potentially considering any of the reasons. There was no balance to it at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they weren't looking at conversion rate optimization, for example. But and I got the impression that the study wasn't for like B2B type websites. It was more like consumption based. Like they use BBC, the BBC website as an example in the study. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I think people will just stick with their strong opinions either way on this one. It's tricky. I could definitely be convinced for our site, Mark, to, especially when there's only a handful of items, it's just to display them, especially because we don't have subnavs.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, maybe. Interesting to see the Human Made website. I didn't know they had a new one. It's really nice and simple, isn't it? It's so simplified.
Yeah.
Many ways that's a good thing, and sometimes you think it's a bit too simple. But
yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it, actually. Personally, but just a few little bits and pieces I don't like. Talking about like accessibility, I was brought to task, or is that the right phrase? On Twitter, whenever I posted a screenshot of a button that I was designing, and color contrast was rightly pulled up. But if you look at some of their sections, they've got these like saturated color, like shaped backgrounds, background images directly behind text, and that accessibility. I mean, I haven't done the test, but you can just see it. It's not good.
Yeah.
There's a few bits. I do feel it's a little bit plain as well. Just a little bit. You know, we talked about the kind of homogenization of design, and everything's looking very boring and similar and lacking personality or flair. I think that's a really good example, unfortunately. But saying that, I still quite like it, and you know, I do like the simplicity. But
yeah, I like the simplicity, definitely. Right, I think we should wrap that up. That was episode 25. A few different topics, and we will be back shortly. I'm not sure when, but we will be back shortly. If you haven't already subscribed to the High Rise Digital YouTube channel where these are put out, then please consider doing so. We put lots of videos and tutorials and just kind of stuff that we get up to in the WordPress world of development on there. So you might find that interesting. And this does go out as a podcast as well on the usual platforms shortly after we've finished on the YouTube channel. So do think about that. And if you like this, then please give us a like. It's nice. Anyway, that's all for this week. We will see you again soon. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.